This is Jay Sekulow. The Russians threaten in a video image the state of Florida with a nuclear attack.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Why would Putin ratchet up a potential nuclear showdown with the U.S.? Why would he do it now?
I think this is part of Putin trying to make Russia into a great power again. They've got an election coming up a couple weeks. That's a good pretext to put this out. But I do think he has a larger strategic objective. He's pushing the limits in Eastern and Central Europe and the territory of the former Soviet Union. He's expanded Russian influence in the Near East. And making Russia a bigger nuclear power again, I think, is part of his objective.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Do we need to worry about this now?
Well, I think anytime you see a country with thousands of nuclear weapons increasing its delivery capabilities, it's worth worrying about. No question about it. And remembering that China is not far behind Russia.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So, here's what happened. In an annual address to the Russian parliament, Vladimir Putin said that Russia has developed a new nuclear-capable cruise missile with, quote, unlimited range that is capable of eluding air defense system. And Putin said to the parliament that I want to tell all of those who have fueled the arm race over 15 years, sought to win unilateral advantages over Russia, introduced unlawful sanctions aimed to contain our country's development, all what you wanted to impede with your policies have already happened. You have failed to contain Russia. We would consider any use of nuclear weapons against Russia or its allies to be a nuclear attack on our country. The response would be immediate. He also said that Russia had developed, quote, an invincible missile that can deliver a warhead at hypersonic speed. And then they issued a, and Logan, you followed this, so they issued a video imaging showing a missile launch aimed at what looks like
what
Florida.
Appears to be the state of Florida. I mean, if Will, our producer, showed me the image, he said, look at this. I said, that's in Florida. It's not like there's any doubt there. If you look at it, if you know the state of Florida, if you know the map, it's clearly
that's Florida.
At South Florida or central to South Florida. So a pretty direct reference, a direct threat, if you would, in some ways, to where they think that this could go.
So, Jordan, we wrote about this. We call in our book, Unholy Alliance, where we talked about Russia, Iran, Syria, a little bit of North Korea, China. What is your sense of this?
Well, I think that when you actually look at what's going on with the statements from Putin, which we covered briefly on the broadcast yesterday, these new weapons that he's announced, and the key is that these weapons are offensive weapons, not defensive. In the U.S., we work a lot on defensive weaponry, and that's where really our newest technology has been focused on, is defending our country, not offensive weapons to go to war. We obviously have those weapons if necessary. But the way he put those on display and said it was because of American aggression, I think, again, that this shows you the real relationship between Russia and the United States. They don't care which U.S. president is in office. They see the U.S. as a threat to their actual security, and the Putin regime certainly sees the U.S. as a threat to his stability as leader. And we've seen direct conflict between the U.S. and Russians in Syria.
Also, Harry Hutchin, our director of policy, we also know that there's what we call the unholy alliance between Russia, Syria, and Iran. And in Syria, especially over the last several months, Russian operatives have been very involved in the attacks.
Absolutely. And some of those operatives have been injured, if not killed, by U.S. Allies. I think Putin's move suggests that the unholy alliance is alive and well, and it is indeed growing. Also, you can explain some of Putin's rhetoric by virtue of the fact that he is headed into an election campaign, I believe, in mid-March in Russia as well.
Yep. All right. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to take your calls and comments. When we come back from break, Logan will let you know how you can engage.
All right. You can join us right now online. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope, and Twitter @JaySekulow. But give us a call. We just opened up the phone lines, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today on the air. Begin, get your comments in as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the matching challenge right now as well, where whatever you're able to donate online is doubled. We just launched that at aclj.org. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Be part of the matching challenge. Donate today, aclj.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about Russia and their, quote, invincible missile that can deliver a warhead at what they call hypersonic speed. And they issued a video that made it very clear. I'll let Logan address this. I mean, they didn't say it was Florida, right? But it's pretty overwhelming. And then I'm going to play Heather.
It's certainly Florida.
Yeah.
It's without a doubt. If you're talking about the United States, that is certainly Florida. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about.
I mean, yeah,
there's
the lakes, there's the Keys, there's the...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just...
I mean, you see Lakeland, you see Tampa Bay.
It's just the map of Florida. It's from a satellite image of Florida. So you don't want to take these threats lightly, but like especially when they start aiming things out, you know, specific areas of our country.
Let me play what the State Department had to say about this. Take a listen.
It was certainly unfortunate to have watched the video animation that depicted a nuclear attack on the United States. I mean, that's something that we certainly did not enjoy watching. We don't regard that as the behavior of a responsible international player.
I think Heather's absolutely correct. I mean, this is the Russians flexing their muscles. We have an office in Moscow, and I will tell you that our office there has been very busy fighting for religious freedom as things are clamping down.
Yeah, but could you imagine if the U.S. created, it'd be a much better looking video, by the way, of U.S. military firing onto Moscow. Imagine what that would look like. Imagine the outcry that would
world condemnation
that would come in through the Security Council and from China. And yet Russia depicts nuclear weapons hitting our states and one of our largest states in the country, Florida, and which, by the way, there's a lot of Russians in. So, I mean, they may want to think twice about that before. As someone who lived in Florida for about a year and a half in an area where there were a lot of Russians. So yeah. You'd wonder why they are targeting that state of all the states.
Specifically that area of Florida.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, it goes to kind of like, imagine the U.S. production that could go into saying, well, this is what we could do right to Moscow.
So let me play.
In St. Petersburg. Could you imagine? It would be something we never do as a country because it's wrong, as the State Department said, for stable world powers to put out imagery like this.
Yeah. So listen to what Vladimir Putin, this is translated in his State of the Nation speech just yesterday.
Russia still has the greatest nuclear potential in the world, but nobody listened to us. Listen now.
Okay. There you have it. So that's Vladimir Putin. So we wrote about this in our book, Unholy Alliance, and we call it the agenda of Russia, Iran, and jihadists and what they share for what they – and they want – well, listen, they have an agenda that they want to export. And the reason they're in Syria is because they want access to warm water ports, and that's what they're doing. I mean, and they are propping up the Assad regime. And I don't think, Harry, there's any question about what their goal is here.
Absolutely. In addition to that, of course, Putin has a short-term goal in mind. That is his reelection, which is probably not in doubt. But in any case, he seeks to envelop himself in an aura of invincibility, which apparently appeals to the Russian people. There is some doubt about the credibility of his claims. Some U.S. analysts have suggested that they have seen satellite imagery, which suggests that tests of some of these missile systems have not necessarily been successful. But it's clear that Putin is yep. running for re-election,
yep.
but it's also clear that he is seeking to project Russian influence throughout the world.
So, then, what is the – if you're getting any reaction – I know we saw the State Department's reaction. Any reaction out of the Foreign Relations Committee that Senator Corker chairs? Any statements coming out of them?
Yeah, and also the Appropriations Committee, you know, trying to increase our national security budget. I mean, Jay, I think their response is that it's clearly a direct threat to the United States, but it's also not happening in a vacuum. And Jordan alluded to this, but think about the other dynamics at play here. Russian forces engaged in Syria, Iran building bases in Syria, North Korea shipping chemical weapons to Syria. And how many Americans, Jay, realize that American forces are clashing with those Russian forces in Syria right now? And yet we still have a debate in Washington, D.C. on whether or not we should be able to increase our national security budget without also increasing domestic spending. That conversation has got to end because we live in a dangerous world, and this unholy alliance that you've written about, it's playing out as we speak.
Again, this is something we wrote about a year and a half ago in our book Unholy Alliance, as Stan mentioned. All right, let's go ahead, Logan, and take some calls and comments.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Peter in Florida online, too.
Hey, Peter, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey. My opinion, I think Putin is doing Trump a favor with his saber rattling. We no longer live under the threat of the Soviet Union's mutual assured destruction. I don't think he's serious about using them, but he's basically playing into Trump's hands because we do need to step up our military, and he's clearly, the saber rattling is doing us a favor.
Well, Sarah Sanders addressed this from the White House briefing room. Let's take a listen to what she said.
President Trump understands the threats facing America and our allies in this century and is determined to protect our homeland and preserve peace through strength. U.S. defense capabilities are and will remain second to none. And now, because of the new defense budget of $700 billion, our military will be far stronger than ever.
So, Jordan, the question I think that everybody's asking right now is when you've got – look, we've worked in Russia for our affiliate, mm-hmm. the Slavic Center for Law and Justice, has been fighting for religious freedom – freedom of speech, freedom of association for two and a half decades, 25 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we know when there's clampdowns coming institutionally because we see it with the case volume that our office in Moscow handles. And now all of a sudden that level of engagement for churches and other religious nonprofit groups, freedom of speech, freedom of association, we're seeing now play out literally all over the country.
That's right. So obviously with our work in Russia, with that focus, it comes in waves. Typically, it usually comes through the regional governments. Sometimes the federal government kind of takes the position, like it does in the U.S. legal system, of those seeking religious freedom. Other times it's silent. Sometimes it does not take the position. But they have been able to work and survive under this current government, and that's been many years of Putin, either as president or prime minister, and then back to being president, and looks like he'll likely be reelected again for another term. So that's their reality. Our team there that they have to deal with. But on this bigger global scale, I mean, it'd be one thing to hear Putin be talking tough leading into an election in, you know, a few weeks, right? So a few weeks away from his election, and talking tough would be one thing. But I think announcing offensive weapons, and the world needs to start paying attention to our incredibly large nuclear arsenal. I think, to me, that went a step over just talking to a domestic audience and trying to sound tough, like, you need me to be reelected. That was a message to the world, and specifically to the United States.
Yep.
A little bit of saber rattling would not get this much attention or cause as much concern. But when it gets to this point, I think it is actually a cause for concern at the international level, and diplomatically, and then even potentially militarily, when you're talking about missile defense programs that are going to have to be put in place, and looking at our own current systems to see if it's true what Putin said about this new development, that could it be undetected by our defense systems?
All right, let's do this. Logan, you want to take a call or a comment?
Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Stephen in Kansas City. You're on the air.
Hi, Stephen.
Hey, you know, Putin's not a dumb person. You know, he knows that any kind of launch of a nuclear weapon is going to have everyone launch their weapons and everyone dies. So it's a no-win situation by launching it. This is just a bunch of saber-rattling.
Well, I mean, listen, I think it is saber-rattling, but when they're saber-rattling, you got to understand where the threats are in the world, and this is apparently one of the threat areas of the world. I mean, Harry, when you look at it from a policy perspective, let me get your opinion on that. So from a policy perspective, how do you see it?
Well, first, it's important to take a step back and to note that Russia continues to fund a war in Syria. Russia continues to work with North Korea in order to cause mischief in the Far East. And Russia continues to work with Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror. So I think this saber rattling is useful from a Russian perspective because it continues to expand Russian influence throughout the world and to feed the so-called unholy alliance that we've talked about so much.
Yeah, remember, Russia is now engaged back in the Middle East. I mean, I think that cannot be
taken lightly. And that's because President Obama created a vacuum,
yeah,
and the Russians went right in it.
They right into Syria with the Assad regime, working with, that means working with Iran, who funds Hezbollah. So again, and we've been in conflicts now where Russian troops have been killed by our airstrikes because they're so commingled with the Assad forces. Yep. That, again, from the air, you can't tell who is who when we have targeted the Assad forces who have carried out these atrocities on these, again, using chemical weapons against villages and towns in Syria. So because of that, and targeting civilians. So because of that, Russia is not just, it's not just internal to Russia anymore. They are on this kind of expansive move and now announcing this very offensive weaponry. Remember, we make that distinction. The U.S. has a lot of great defensive weaponry, but we try not to highlight the offensive weaponry because that sounds like a call to war. Though we surely do have it, we may still have better weapons than they announce. It's a real concern. And so I think that, again, remember our office in Russia. Remember why we have it there, why it's been able to do this work. It's because of your support to the ACLJ. So we get a lot better information than most even TV news outlets would get because we've got a team there who are Russian. Support the work of the ACLJ. Right now we have a matching challenge. Whatever you donate is doubled. You donate online at ACLJ.org. Double your donation today, ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So in an annual address to the Russian parliament, the Prime Minister Putin said, "I want to tell all those who have fueled the arms race over the last 15 years, sought to win unilateral advantages over Russia, introduced unlawful sanctions, aimed to contain our country's development. All you wanted to impede with your policies have already happened. You have failed to contain Russia. We would consider any use of nuclear weapons against Russia as an attack." They went on and released, what would you call it, Logan? Was it a video? I mean,
It was a video that they put out that had like sort of graphic representations.
And that representation was the state of Florida.
Yeah.
So they were playing
Lower area, South Florida.
They were sending whatever message they were sending. Now, I have written a book a year and a half ago about Russia called Unholy Alliance, the agenda that Iran, Russia, jihadists kind of share. Because you got the Russians working with Iran, which is jihadis. You got them in Syria, which is a proxy of Iran. And they're engaged in the Middle East because President Obama, frankly, created a vacuum in that region. Let me go to Washington, D.C. first, the top of this broadcast. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. So, Than, what kind of reaction is this statement from Putin getting in Washington?
I think you're actually getting a mixed one, Jay. On the one side, I think they view it as a direct threat to the United States, but I am concerned that there are some who say this is simply posturing or simply saber-rattling. And look, we know that Vladimir Putin does that, but how do you protect against posturing or saber-rattling becoming a threat to the United States? Jay, you do that from taking a position of strength. And I got to tell you, for the last 10 years in Washington, D.C., we have not done that because the priority through a process called sequestration means you cannot plus defense up to the place where it needs to be. And Wes Smith has talked about this on this broadcast many times. One of the biggest victories that we got in the recent budget deal, there was some to like there and some not to like, but Jay, we decoupled defense spending from non-defense spending. So this is what President Trump had called for from the very beginning. We're now in that position, and they need to grant the funding wish that he's put forward.
So the Russians released this video, right? I've got a question first for Jordan, then for Logan. They released this video, which, you know, we think depicts Florida, and we'll get into their denial in a moment. What should be the United States response in your view?
I think the U.S. response, one is, you know, we've heard the kind of the diplomatic response. This is just, again, not how a world player should act. And it should be an embarrassment to Russia, actually, that they act this way. And the world should condemn these kind of actions and threats and videos and, you know, showing how great their offensive power and then, you know, rattling about how they can get through U.S. defense system sounds like a threat directly only to the United States. That they were addressing this threat to offensive weapons, that they were addressing this threat to, including a one that travels at like so many times the speed of light. Then you've got the one who that low flying missile that can fly indefinitely because it's nuclear powered. That is flies so low it would not be detected, is what they say.
Yep.
And then another submarine style unmanned submarine, like an unmanned drone. It would be able to capable of launching a nuclear weapon. So when you put all that together, I think, yes, you do the response back through our diplomats, through the White House. The second, the real response, though, is let's make sure our defense capabilities can knock down every one of those weapons. And I don't think we have to parade that around.
Right.
But we could let it be known to Moscow very, very quietly that, by the way, these weapons you thought were so great, we could have shot them down, and maybe we already have the system in place a decade ago.
So,
because a lot of this was stuff they were developing, as Wes said, during the Cold War.
Right.
So this, when you see some of these videos, they look old. It's because these were videos that were being put together during the 80s and then the very end of the Soviet Union.
I was asking that exact question. I mean, they're using this video imagery for a reason. They're trying to convey a story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that it's definitely a story. It's definitely a threat. I mean, you can't say that it's not. You can't ignore it and just laugh it off. I mean, I think there's some instances where you almost see this video. It feels ridiculous. When you see sometimes, you know, the Vladimir Putin speech, some of the rhetoric that comes out does feel like something out of a movie. It doesn't feel real. But I think what you have is the state of Florida. I mean, I see my friends. I spend many years in Florida who are all actually concerned. I see them tweeting the president. What are you going to do about this? What is this? You know, is Russia making a real threat? Because look, Florida's been through a lot. And now, you know, you're talking about Russia threatening them with nukes. I mean, this is not something to be taken lightly, specifically even in messaging.
So here is this is Heather Nauert, again, State Department spokesperson. Listen to this question and listen to the answers, but listen to who the question is from.
It was not attacking the United States. It was two missiles sent to different directions. Why do you say that they are taking?
I'm from Russia.
Enough said then. I'll move on.
There you go. That's the kind of response I like, Harry.
Absolutely. For too long, the Russians have been able to push against an open door during the Obama administration. Also, our national defense has been hampered, as Than rightly points out, because of sequestration. But now there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new defense secretary in James Mattis.
I wouldn't be messing with Mad Dog Mattis on this stuff.
And,
if I were
and
them.
So I think the United States is prepared to respond to these threats.
All right. Go ahead and take a call.
All right. Let's go to Anthony in Salt Lake City. You're on the air on line one.
Hi, Anthony. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't believe, actually, I don't believe for a second that Russia will be foolish enough to try to attack us, because that's like going back to the Kennedy administration days. Surely they know that if they launched against the United States, it's called mutually assured destruction. Surely they know that if they launch against us, they are guaranteed to be themselves destroyed by us. I don't think Putin is foolish enough.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with actually attacking the United States. It's symbolism. Remember this. Under the previous administration, President Obama, when he created the vacuum in the Middle East, the Russians saw that the Russians had engaged in the Middle East for about 25 years. All of a sudden, they re-engaged the region as soon as the U.S. pulls back. And while I don't think we should just be anywhere, the Middle East is someplace we have to stay engaged. It's too vital to our own national security interests. So the Russians came in there, and then you've got, I mean, I've had these discussions. I mean, you've got, look, I'm telling you this here as someone very familiar with the situation. You got Russian troops in Syria, and U.S. trained troops in Syria, and sometimes they're standing 25 feet apart.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a situation where we've seen with air missions where Russians have been killed by U.S. strikes because, again, they are commingled with the Assad forces. So they have joined forces with Assad very directly to where they are with the Assad Syrian military. That means they're also working with the Iranian military then. So they have joined forces, as you wrote about in the book. They are joining that alliance, and they have decided to – that is where they're going to – again, and because they're fighting for that base that is on the water, a warm water base, which is so critical to the Russians to have. So they're willing to fight for decades to keep access to a warm water port and facility that Syria has. So because of that, I think that you have to realize one is – let's say then that Putin deploys some of these into Syria next year, okay?
Yep.
It's not necessarily he's going to use them, but would the U.S. then have to think twice if it's true that our defense systems wouldn't be able to keep our pilots safe? Then how does that impact where we are in the world? And so what do we need to do over the next year as they're prepared to put these weapons into use so that we're ready, because he could actually deploy them in a way that's not directly a threat, but could be if we decide to take more action in a place like Syria.
So the ACLJ, we've got an office in Moscow. We've had it there for decades, fighting for religious freedom, freedom of speech, for churches and individual citizens and religious minorities in Russia. We're going to continue that work. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that at ACLJ.org. We're here for another 30 minutes.
That's right.
Taking more calls.
Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, to have your voice heard. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting on Facebook, Periscope, and ACLJ.org. Just search for Jay Sekulow on Facebook and Periscope to find us live streaming. You get archived on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for Apple devices, and in the Roku channel store, just search for ACLJ. And obviously, you can find us live on the ACLJ app and on ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. So let me tell you what we've been talking about. In an annual address to the Russian parliament, Putin said that Russia had developed a new nuclear-capable cruise missile with, quote, unlimited range that is capable of eluding air defense systems. He then said, I want to tell all those who have fueled the arm race over the last 15 years, sought to win unilateral advantages over Russia, introduced unlawful sanctions, aimed to contain our country's development. All you wanted to impede with your policies has already happened. You have failed to contain Russia. Well, let me tell you something. We have an office in Moscow, had it for 25 years, almost three decades. And we know what's going on over there right now. And I will tell you, they're stifling on freedom of speech, they're stifling on religious freedom, and they're saber rattling. And the saber rattling is because Putin has been able to come into the Middle East because President Obama created a vacuum in the Middle East. That vacuum, Harry, has been filled, or at least attempted to be filled, by the Russians, in cahoots with the Syrians.
Absolutely.
And the Iranians.
So what we have, Jay, is convergence. Convergence between Russia, North Korea, Syria, and Iran. Now, they are all operating directly or indirectly in the Middle East. North Korea has been linked to the development of Syrian chemical weapons. Iran has established a missile base in Syria. Iran has purchased weapons from Russia, and North Korea has purchased missile technology, including engines from Russia. So it's very important to note that Putin's threat is, to some extent, aimed at the Middle East.
So this, which I'm going to go right up to Washington here. So, Than, then what is the response within our leadership? Not, I'm not talking about from the White House side, but congressionally.
Well, first of all, I think, based on what Harry said, I think the reason Vladimir Putin is doing that is because he sees renewed strength in the American commander-in-chief, Jay. And so there he feels like he's got a posture and bluster. But from the Hill, look, there is a very specific response. And I think this started a few weeks ago when they finally did authorize another $700 billion for national defense, because Jordan talked about our capacity with missile defense systems. And I think he's correct. But, Jay, those take constant modernization. And that is something that has not been taking place over the last few years. This $700 billion is first aimed at that priority. And I think more needs to be done. This is something that President Trump campaigned on. But the Congress first has to send him the dollars to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that now we need to look at kind of re-upping our defensive capabilities. And again, we have the greatest military in the world, but we want to make sure we have the greatest defense systems in the world too. So not just offensive systems, but refocusing in on missile defense yet again to make sure that our technology is 10 steps ahead and maybe decades ahead of what any other country can do and be able to actually put into place. That is, I think, the goal. If you want to maintain superpower status as the United States of America, the world's leader, then you've got to be a decade or more ahead of any other country's military delivery capabilities and weapon capabilities that they can deliver through your defensive capabilities. We know we have an offensive arsenal right. that can be matched by no one. We have, again, the best fighter pilots, the best missile delivery. But we've got to make sure that we have the defense systems in place so that anybody who creates something new, that we're ready for.
Yeah, so but here's what it's interesting to point out. Will brought this to my attention, our producer. So on January 29th, so we're talking about a month and a couple of days ago, Russian Su-27 jet came within 5 feet. I mean, think about this. Within 5 feet of a U.S. military plane crossing directly through the EP-3s, that's the U.S. flight path, and causing the Navy jet to fly through the Russians' aircraft's jet wash. The Navy plane was at the time in international airspace. So what they're doing is provoking. Harry, we only got a few seconds here, but these are acts of provocation.
Absolutely. So Russia is following the Iranian model. The Iranians attempted to provoke us in the past. Russia's doing the same.
Logan?
All right. We'll be back with taking a lot more calls and comments. Get your comments in online. Also give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, we'll have exclusive videos that we'll play during the break, so we don't go to break here. We will continue the conversation going. Either we'll go to Act of the Funeral, Billy Graham, or we will run our video. I believe we have a video, so we'll probably do that. And we'll be back on the air in just a couple minutes. You can give us a call. Like I said, a few lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Also get your comments in. Try to take as many calls and comments in the second half hour.
And don't forget the matching challenge for the ACLJ. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's at aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're talking about this new threat Russia has posed directly to the United States in the speech by Vladimir Putin to the Russian parliament. It's the annual speech, kind of like a State of the Union. We discussed it from a military standpoint yesterday, and now we've gotten into more of how this affects the U.S. geopolitically, diplomatically, and also military when it comes to our defenses as well. And obviously, as the nation is watching Reverend Billy Graham's funeral today, we can go to some of that now. A good friend of ours, Michael W. Smith, is performing right now at the funeral in North Carolina. Take a listen. It looks like he may have just finished up, but we'll go to some of the funeral as it pertains. Is Franklin about to speak?
We are here.
Oh, it's just different folks. So we'll go as necessary back to the funeral. I know a lot of you are watching that as well. But we broadcast live, but then a lot of times also later in the day as well, so people have a chance to see that.
Yeah, I believe they'll be airing it. It's online. You'll be able to watch it whenever you need. Jesse asked on Facebook. This goes back to our subject with Russia.
Yep.
Said, any idea of why they chose Florida as the target? Is it proximity to Russia? Is it obviously other things that could be related to Florida in the news?
I mean, I think that it's I think that they focus on Florida because it's seen as a kind of the sunshine state. It's a coastal place.
Some people are thinking it's because the president is there. Often, some people are saying because of the
attacks. Mar-a-Lago is there,
right in South Florida, where it's presumably aimed, is what it appears.
Yes. So obviously, there's a connection to this our current president in Florida. It's one of the largest states in the country.
Yeah, and probably one of the more recognizable, even if they don't.
Yes.
As its own piece.
Yes, because the way it sticks out. I mean, you could show a lot of states in this country, and if you didn't show these pieces like they did, you wouldn't be able to so easily identify them. But the way they show, again, the Florida coastline and the unique geographics of the state of Florida and the state lines, then I think it's pretty clear and pretty obvious, including the lakes that are there on the map they show. So, I mean, again, this reminds me more like what a regime, Harry, of like North Korea does. Now, I mean, Russia may show off their weapons. They love doing that. But to do a model mock-up of an attack on the United States is not something we see so much from Russia. We kind of gotten used to seeing from like North Korea or even Iran.
Absolutely. And it's very, very possible that Putin inadvertently has undermined the credibility of his claims because, at least in my opinion, Logan is more of an expert on these things. I think the video is a little elementary.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely it's a graphic representation. It's not necessarily the most realistic thing. And that is where you watch it and don't want to take it seriously, because even alone it looks a little ridiculous. But you also don't want to be the person who doesn't take it seriously, because this is Russia, and you never know what's going to come out of their administration. So you have it aimed at Florida. You have what I think, I mean, specifically is a threat, regardless if you think it's a substantiated threat. It's a threat to the United States and to the country, saying, here, look at our display. Look at what we can do. That's a concern. It's a concern to not, it's something you don't take lightly going after this. It's unlikely, because in North Korea, where, of course, we don't take that lightly, but it is a bit of an empty threat often, because we've seen the threats over and over and over and over. It is odd that with Russia, there's a specific, I mean, almost a specific target that they've labeled on this.
Yes. So, I mean, I think it's, again, very important for everyone to understand that we're taking it seriously. I think the U.S. government's taking it seriously. And Than, certainly on Capitol Hill, this kind of threat, I hope it kind of refocuses the attention on the real threats from Russia. Obviously, I tend to believe that Russia would like to meddle with our elections. I don't disagree with that. I don't think they choose sides. I think they just like to cause disruption, because I think that they kind of see whatever U.S. leader comes in, Republican or Democrat, will not be a great friend of theirs ultimately, because of the acts of aggression that they take, as in Syria, where we finally decide to fire on their ally, the Assad regime, under the Trump administration. You remember that, after the chemical weapons attack. But then Washington can respond by making sure the military has the funding, but also providing some direction in saying, we want to make sure that either we have, that we can protect ourselves from the weapons Russia's talking about with the systems that we have, or that we're developing systems that will be ready to deploy for missile defense in the near future that will protect us, but to make sure they've got the budget to do that.
And to be honest with you, Jordan, your belief in their capacity to either meddle in elections or actually invade and threaten the security of the United States, that really doesn't have a lot of bearing on what the response of the United States should be. Because remember, Russia is not the only bad actor out there. We should always be modernizing our defenses. We should always be modernizing our cybersecurity. And we've talked about in this program already the need to plus up those defense accounts. But Jordan, there is some specific needs even inside that. There's a need for less programmatic restrictions. There's a need for greater flexibility inside of the Department of Defense to actually allocate those funds to the things that are most needed. You mentioned the missile defense system. That should obviously be a very high priority. But sometimes when this funding comes out of the Congress, it comes with so many programmatic restrictions that the commanders, and even the commander-in-chief in many cases, cannot reprogram those funds as needed. So those kind of changes, Jordan, regardless what you think about their capacity, we have an obligation to be prepared really beyond what we think their capacity is. And I think the Congress has some work to do on that front.
All right. We're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Charles in Texas. You're on the air in line two.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Go ahead with your comment.
All right. So I'm a 19-year Marine and shut that quietly. I'm a 19-year Marine, and I spent some time in Quantico, and I spent some time in the Pentagon. And this is what I'll speak to that budget thing. So 2004, they went back and said we needed up-armored Humvees and we needed flak jackets, and they dumped a lot of money at us. And what happened is over the next 10 to 12 years, I got four different flak jackets. They fielded for 200,000 Marines. They issued them to us. We had them for 2 years. Then they said we needed something different, went back and bought another one. Meantime, the Army did that six times. You know, so we got dumped all this money, and then DOD just kind of threw it back into the civilian defense sector and essentially wasted it. We more or less blew that money. And then we turned around, and Congress said we had to buy the Joint Strike Fighter, because it was the most expensive jet.
Yeah, but
and they
we've
could
also
build
been
it.
Under a, we've also been under the sequester, Than. I mean, that's part of the problem here. So our military readiness has to be put back in balance, because we've been under sequester for, what, 9 years?
And this is an administration before, Than said, who has looked at every one of those past deals on those new jets,
yeah,
and is renegotiating all the prices for,
right,
that. So
absolutely,
that was the past administration. New administration is not taking those amounts and just saying, okay, here you go, Boeing, here you go,
yeah,
Lockheed.
Yeah, Than, what do you think?
Well, I think Charles made the point that we just made, that along with plus-ups to the defense, you have to have lifting of programmatic restrictions and greater flexibility for the Department of Defense. So I don't dispute that there might have been some waste from the Pentagon, but Jay, in most cases, that's actually a restriction that comes from the Congress. They are not allowed to reprogram funds to where they're most needed. That has got to stop, and I think a lot of what Charles is seeing is a result of those programmatic restrictions that have to be lifted.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another, we can take another call, Logan.
Let's go to Pat in Florida on line four.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. Hey. Great show again.
Thanks.
I got probably a comment question for your whole panel.
Sure.
Since we're talking about saber rattling and everything else, maybe it's time for Nikki Haley to say, let's have an emergency meeting, do an official condemnation of this, and let's see where the rest of the world stands, if they stand against this, how they feel about it. I'd be interesting to know where everyone else in the rest of the world stands.
Of course, it's a good point. And by the way, Nikki Haley's done a fantastic job as ambassador to the UN. What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think it's actually a great idea. I think Nikki Haley has done a fabulous job of uncovering the resentment against Israel. And so I think she could do a great job with respect to uncovering resentment against the United States. The United States needs to be prepared in the event of conflict in the Middle East or elsewhere with Russia or Russian-backed individuals.
You know,
and we need to know where other countries stand. Do they stand with us or do they stand against
us? But we also should not be acting like shocked that all this is happening. I mean, this is not shocking. I mean, we wrote about this 2 years ago. There was a void in the Middle East. They came in and filled the void. That's what they do. And that's what they did.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, they were looking for an opportunity to fill a void outside of their normal world of operation, which has been in Central Europe, you know, in Georgia and some of the Caucasus. And but they were kind of stuck in their, you know, Ukraine. Obviously, they took an extremely aggressive move there. When they got away with that under the Obama administration, the annexation of Crimea, and the world basically kind of sat on its hands and said, oh, we'll provide the opposition there with non-lethal devices, but not lethal weaponry. So again, the world let Russia go in and annex a part of an independent country. And then it's no surprise that when they saw an opportunity to get back involved in the Middle East for the first time since the end of the Cold War, they took advantage of it. And they've sided now with Syria and Iran against the U.S. and again, many of our Sunni allies. We are continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And remember, folks, our matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate this today and this month to the American Center for Law and Justice is doubled. So you can double the impact of your donation. $20 becomes $40. $50 becomes $100. $5 becomes $10. You do that online at aclj.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Last segment of the broadcast, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Chris in Valencia, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Jay. Hi, fellas. I just want to say real quick that I donate to ACLJ.
We appreciate that, especially this month, because it's a matching challenge for us. Whatever you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's great. Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely. First of all, just real quick, the last caller, I just want to get in real quick. The F-35, I wish people would get off that. I mean, red flag alone, the results, 17-1 kill ratio. The jet is everything it is, and it's only in its, first generation software upgrade.
Right.
So, getting to Putin here, he's seen what's going on with how we're aligning and, as far as the sanctions, what they've already done, and how we're going to, what the administration plans to do as far as energy and drilling. You know, that become the leading producer of oil over Russia. And that's their hard currency. And they also see our capabilities and what's gone on in the Middle East with how fast we took out ISIS, or pretty much.
Yeah, and stunning, really.
You know, yeah, and he's feeling, short between the legs. And this is how a person with his, mentality, going back to the missile shield, he was invited into that. So this is all predicated on a lie about him saying that we're, we cause this. No, this is him.
What's interesting on this, Chris, to me, is that, there was a vacuum, and as I said, Putin came in to fill it. And he had natural allies with Iran and with Syria, because Syria is a proxy for Iran, and Iran's in cahoots with the Russians, and the North Koreans are involved in that as well. So you've got this kind of on multiple fronts, you have all of this playing out. So, like I've said, we should not be surprised at the nature of this, nor should we be in fear over it. Because we're the United States of America, and our military is the strongest in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, and we know that if we have the resources available for our military, we can have the capabilities to fight off anything the Russians can create. They are years behind. As Wes talked about yesterday, our senior military analyst at the ACLJ, some of these weapons that Putin just announced were weapons that they have been trying to develop in Russia since the Cold War. It doesn't take us that long to develop high-tech weapons in the United States. But we need to make sure that we are not just one or two steps ahead of our rivals and potential enemies. Now, I'm not calling them, they're not one right now directly, though we are indirectly fighting in a war in Syria, right on the edge. And depending on how you want to define that, I don't think Russia or the United States want to define that as a direct conflict.
Of course not.
But in different times, it would have been defined that way.
Yes.
During the Cold War, we would have seen that as one of those proxy battles that was going on, like in Vietnam and places like that, where you had our troops fighting Russian-backed militaries as well. And
Right. Kind
of the distinction was tough to make. And there'd be Russian pilots flying Vietnamese planes, the Viet Cong planes. Well, same thing goes here. Oftentimes in Syria, there are Russian pilots flying the Syrian jets because they're Russian-made jets, and they don't have enough good pilots to carry out these sometimes horrendous missions. I mean, it could have been Russian pilots who delivered those chemical weapon attacks in Syria. So it's a very serious time where I think it gives the administration, the Trump administration, and our military an opportunity to kind of refocus our defensive capabilities.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think Jordan is precisely correct. I think it's very likely that Russia, either directly or through its proxies, has been engaged, if you will, in a subterranean war against the United States. In part, it's driven by the Russian fear of U.S. influence, particularly in the Middle East. And so you see Russia attempting to expand its connection and influence with Turkey, for instance,
right,
and trying to draw Turkey into this unholy alliance with Syria and Iran. But the United States, I think, is prepared to respond directly to threats.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very important. It signals to Putin that no longer can the Russians push against an open door.
We're going to get Larry's call in a moment here, but I want to ask something of fans. So We've had the sequester going on for over a decade now. And what is the appetite on Capitol Hill to get our military spending back to where it needs to be?
I think because of President Trump, the appetite is there, Jay. And honestly, I thought this is why the department out of the State Department and Heather Nauert was so good. You don't have to say very much if you do the right thing, Jay. And doing the right thing means plussing up the budget for the military and also giving them the flexibility we need. You know, I know people didn't like that budget deal in some ways, Jay, but on this point, it was very, very good. That sequestration is decoupled. Yep. We can raise funding to the military without raising domestic spending now.
Let's go ahead and take the last call, Logan.
Yep, Larry in Evansville, Indiana.
Hey, Larry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a career military. I retired in 1994 and during Vietnam.
Yep.
I kept a close, watch on these things. You know, you said something about Turkey, and that hits it right on the nail, because with Russia back in Iran and then Iran involved with Syria, we also have to take a look at Turkey and the Kurds in the northern area of Iraq.
Right.
Syria doesn't need all of Iraq. I mean, Iran doesn't need all of Iraq. All they need is a roadway through to Syria.
That's exactly right.
That then in turn puts, if they're successful, that then in turn puts the entire eastern region of the Mediterranean in danger. And we also have to remember, too, that Russia is also stationing surface-to-air missiles in
And Navy. I mean, they want access to a warm water port, and that's part of their reason that they're working so closely with Iran and in Syria. Hey, this is on a Friday. The Billy Graham is being laid to rest. I think it's appropriate to go to that funeral right now and hear Franklin Graham, who's speaking right now.
Billy Graham that the world saw in the big stadiums was the same Billy Graham that we saw at home. There weren't two Billy Grahams. He loved his family. He stood by us. He comforted us. He left us an enduring legacy. His uncompromising testimony of God's great love, all of us children came to see the world and our Father in heaven through my father's eyes. I think the most compelling vision I have ingrained in my memory is my father, the preacher, the evangelist, standing behind this pulpit right here. In stadiums around the country and around the world, and his voice booming, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has often said that someday you'll read that Billy Graham is dead. He said, don't you believe one word of it. He said, I'll be more alive than I am now. I'll have just changed addresses, that's all. Every Sunday that I was home, I went to visit my father. Oh, he'd love to walk when he could. I'd share with things that we were doing. He would ask questions. We'd talk about the Bible. He liked to talk about politics, sports. But the last few years, he became rather quiet. In this last year of his life, he said very little at all. And I believe that his mind was on heaven. He often said, I'm not afraid to die, for I know the joys of heaven are waiting. If he could speak to you today, he would ask, will you be making this journey to heaven someday? My father's greatest longing has been granted. He's in the presence of God.
Those are the words of Franklin Graham. And again, our thoughts and prayers with the Graham family, but what a tremendous legacy. And that was Franklin at the funeral in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.